Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
One of the great characteristics of any military leader is his ability to know the enemy. For example, Alexander the Great was a powerful conqueror of his day. One of the things that made him such a powerful force was his ability to understand and know the enemy. For example, he would spend massive amounts of time studying the culture and the habits of his enemy. He would find out their methods of attack and he would try to understand them. He would try to understand their goals and the ways in which they worked. And all of this knowledge empowered him to understand and eventually to defeat his enemy. The same principle is so true for Christians today. For us to defeat the great enemy, Satan, we've got to know what he's like. We've got to understand how God describes his character. We've got to understand what his methods of attack are so that we can be prepared to fight those off. And we've got to understand what kind of goals this great enemy of the soul has so that we can know how to defeat him as children of God. As we begin to think about Satan, the great enemy, we need to know that God has described his character for us and we can understand what Satan's character is like. For example, Satan is described as a liar. One thing you can be sure of is that Satan is not going to tell you the truth. He's not concerned about truth. He's not concerned about you knowing right and wrong. He's concerned about you believing the lie and eventually being lost. And so as Christians, we need to know that Satan is a liar. I want us to think about the words of Jesus in John chapter 8 and verse 44. Jesus taught us about Satan when he said these words, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources." Notice, "for he is a liar and the father of it." Satan is a liar. He lied in Genesis 3 to Adam and Eve. And throughout history, he's been lying to people, trying to tempt them to follow his will and not God's. We can know concerning Satan's character that he is the prince of the devils. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24, we are told very clearly that Satan is Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. He's not just a demon. He's not just a devil. He is the prince, the chief of devils. We could describe it this way. He is the best of the worst devils, demons you could ever imagine. And we need to know that he is a very fearful adversary. He's not just a good old boy who'd like to tell you a lie. He is the worst devil you could ever imagine. Of all the demons there are, more than any of them, he has power beyond belief. And we need to realize today that he will try to cause us to do anything that he can, to cause us to fall short of God and his will. We can know that Satan is the god of this world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul describes certain people as being under the influence of the god of this world. Now, not the god of the heaven and the earth, not the god of creation, but the god of the world. Worldliness is the idea. Speaking there of Satan. Satan is the one who makes people think of things like humanism and the philosophies of this day of evolution and ungodliness and immoral acts. He's the one who is behind this world and all the ungodliness and evil that we see. You think about the crimes against man. You think about all the sin that we see today, all the horrible things that are out there, the things that we so much hate today, drugs and immorality and all the things that go along with that. And you can know this. Part of Satan's character is he is the god of this world. He is the one orchestrating those types of things. We can know of Satan's character that he is also a murderer. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, we are again told that Satan is a murderer. In Genesis chapter 3, we see him orchestrating the great death against man, Adam and Eve. Here they're in the garden, and Satan begins to tempt them, that old serpent. He convinces them that it won't be wrong to eat of the tree that God told them not to. And at that point, death came into the world. One thing you can be sure of is that Satan wants you to die. Oh, not necessarily physically, but Satan wants you to die and be lost spiritually. spiritually. He is a murderer, and he's been that way since the beginning of time. And me knowing that helps me to understand his character. It puts me on guard against things like this. Imagine if a murderer got out of jail and moved next door to you. Would you be on guard? Would you be alert? Would you be watching out for him? Sure you would. The same principle is true concerning Satan, except he wants you not just to die physically. He wants you to die in a lost state and spend eternity in hell with him. We can know of Satan's character that he is described as the old serpent. Revelation chapter 20, verse 9, he is depicted as that great serpent of old. Reminds us of Genesis chapter 3, where Satan came to Adam and Eve as that crafty serpent, one of the scariest of all animals, a snake. No one likes being around snakes, serpents. If I had a serpent here today, it would scare people. It would drive some people away from being right with God and doing those things. Serpents are very scary animals. That's the idea that God is describing to us. Satan is a very fearful adversary. Like the old serpent, crafty, would sneak up on them and bite them when they least expected it. So it's true for us today that Satan is like a serpent. Now imagine if you were in a room of serpents. What would you do? You would get out of there as quick as you could. Would you go over and pet one? Absolutely not. Would you flirt with it? Nope. You'd get as far away from it as you possibly can. The same principle helps us understand Satan's character and helps our attitude when dealing with him. I don't want to have anything to do with him. I don't want to be around him. I want to get away from him as quick as possible. We need to know today also that Satan is our adversary. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 teaches us a very valid principle concerning Satan. The Bible says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Now friends, as we think about Satan as the adversary, I want you to know very clear that he is the great enemy of the soul. As our adversary, he wants to do us great harm. He wants to oppose us in every area, and he wants to defeat us. I think of the words of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 23. Jesus here spoke to Peter, and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter here wanted to take on an adversarial role. He wanted to keep the Savior from completing God's will. But Jesus said, "No, Peter, you're playing an adversarial role. You've become like Satan. You want to stop me from doing the will of God." So know today that Satan is not just a good old boy. He's not just someone who maybe does a little wrong sometimes. He is the great enemy of the soul, and he wants nothing more than for you to be lost and spend eternity with him in hell. Satan is often described as the devil. As mentioned in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion." He is described as a lion. The devil, the idea carries with it again, enemy, but more of a slanderer. That's the idea behind the word devil, diabolos. Slanderer. It's used 38 times to describe Satan. You think of someone who's a slanderer. They tell lies. They contort the truth. They cause things not to be as they really are. That's how Satan is. He's going to do everything possible to slander God, Christianity, the cause of Christ, and even our character if he can. And so we need to know that he's not the type of person that we want to be around. He's not the type of person that we want to have anything to do with in this life. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 39, he is described as the great enemy. Satan is our adversary. He is our enemy. He wants to cause us to be lost in this life and wants to do everything that he can to make sure that we're not right with Almighty God. But we can know not only Satan's character, we can know Satan's goals. We can know what it is that he's trying to accomplish in this life. What is Satan trying to do? What are his goals? What is it that he wants to have as his main purpose in this life? One of the things that Satan wants to do is to undo the work of God and his Word. I want us to think about a passage in Mark chapter 4 and verse 15. Here Jesus teaches us about Satan's method of undoing God's Word. Jesus said, "And these are the ones by the wayside, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, the word is planted. They receive it. They hear it. It seems like initially they want to do that, but then Satan comes in and he takes that word out of their heart. That word that was planted, Satan undoes that through temptation, through pride, through sin, through lust. And so know that when the gospel is preached, one thing Satan is already trying to do is to cause God's word to have no effect, no positive effect in people's hearts today. We can know one of Satan's goals is to make men renounce God. I'm reminded of the example of Job. Job chapter 2, in verses 4 and 5, there's that second heavenly council. And Satan comes before God, and God says to Satan, "Where have you been?" He says, "I've been going to and fro, back and forth on the earth." And then he asks him, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan says, You allow me to cause him some kind of physical pain, and he'll curse you to your face. Satan today is trying to cause people to curse God. He's trying to make men renounce faith in God, whether it be through physical pain, whether it be through lust and pleasure. I can know that when bad things happen that seem to be happening in my life, I ought to know immediately that maybe, just maybe, Satan is using those to make me renounce and deny my faith in God. This is one of the things that he tried to do to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. He tried to tempt him with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. "All these things I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me." In essence, you deny God, I'll give you these physical pleasures and you devote your allegiance to me. How many people have bought into that line today? Because of lust, because of desire, because they're wanting to do what they want to do, Satan maybe gives them the opportunity and they buy into that. And we need to know that Satan is trying to make us fall down and worship him and not Almighty God. Satan is also trying to instigate evil against men. In John chapter 13 and verse 2, we're told that Satan entered into the heart of Judas. In verse 27, Judas determined from that point on to go out and carry an ungodly plot against the Savior because Satan was tempting him to do so. Satan is also tempting people today. He's tempting us, causing us to do evil through the pleasures that we now see. Think about Judas. Judas, we know, probably had a little bit of a greed problem. He had taken money already out of the treasury, out of the money pouch that they carried around in John chapter 12. And Satan knew that maybe he had a problem with greed. He knew those 30 pieces of silver might just tempt him. And so he instigated evil against Judas and against the cause of Christ. How many people is Satan doing that to today? Through lust, such as we see on television, through the lust of the eyes, through the lust of the flesh, all the worldliness and power and money that's around us. Satan is using those tools, and we need to know he is, to cause us maybe to do evil things that God will not at all be happy with. Friend, are you a child of God today? Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, you're still a child of the devil. But here's the encouraging thing. Today, you can begin to win the battle by obeying God's will. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Be willing to repent of your past sins. Confess Him as your Savior and be baptized in water, and you can become a child of God. And friend, we're praying that through the gospel of Christ, you will overcome Satan in your life.